without him. Are we in agreement? Are you accepting me as the acting chair? Thank you very much. I think the first thing that we are going to do is to deal with the termination of a pregnancy amendment bill. As you know, we had a briefing last week by the department, and we now can apply our minds on what we were briefed about. So, so now we can deal with the top, and if we still have time, proceed to the traditional health practitioners amendment bill.
Last week we also said we were going to debate or decide whether or not we're going to have public hearing on the termination of pregnancy. So are we still going to discuss that as well?
That's what we're going to discuss about, because as we know, the NA did all what it was supposed to do and we did it correctly. The problem was that it was not done correctly in the NCOP, and it was now, this bill was now introduced as a test bill in the NCOP, but they did not have any amendments to counter what we debated when we dealt with the top thing. We are going to deal with it in the Honorable Water. Can we proceed by now discussing? I don't know how to go about this, because now we dealt with it as the NA. And it's now coming back to us from the NCOP, as it was included as a first bill in the NCOP. Can I just have direction how to deal with this? Honorable
Thank you very much. Hello, Doctor. I think the point of departure ought to be whether there have been any changes introducible in the NCOP, because we have dealt with it now. If there are no changes, then we must look at what is the issue raised by the Constitutional Court that warrants our consideration that we need to address the procedural flaws in order for the bill to be passed again. And I think Honorable Walters have raised a particular method, and I think relates to that as we were discussing last week. But I think as the ANC, we at this point in time have no amendments, no new issues we want to introduce into this one.
Thank you, Honorable Majeka. Honorable Walters, and then Machine.
Chair, normally what happens for us and other committees that are served, that normally goes through clause by clause with the bill, and the department takes it through. If there are any amendments or, you know, queries or questions, and members raise, you know, their concerns. But, I mean, I understand what you're saying, that this bill has been tabled before, but the fact is the Constitutional Court made a ruling, and it's a new bill, this bill. And also, I don't know how many members on this committee were serving when the termination of pregnancy amendment bill actually served before the committee. I think there's a lot of new members, and therefore I would suggest that we go through clause by clause in case there are any questions or queries from members.
One more question.
No,
thanks,
Chairperson. I was also saying that in this type of department actually there is also just some cleaning up issues, I think, on the bill, which some of them, of course, is just written by certain issues, not necessarily changing the original content. But I think it is worth for us to actually look on those cleaning up issues. But the other issue is that to regard this bill as a new bill only because of members being new. I mean, if ever we are new, we are successor of whoever is new before. Surely that can be a serious reason to declare this to be a new bill altogether. And I think we just need to apply our minds correctly so that we do not find ourselves engaged in that. And then we have costly exercise and
in the process, Mr. Mashiri, before you outline to us what the cleaning up issues are that you are referring to before we...
Yeah, well, certainly we've got issues of replacing ways like persons by ways members of the council to actually give more clarity into some of the provisions. So that's what I'm
I think you are dealing now with a traditional year, traditional bill. We are dealing here with the termination of president.
I'm sure maybe I've asked the head of the state on the subject.
Honorable Manana and
President Jefferson. Chairperson, my proposal would be that let's look at the bill clause in order to not waste more time.
Honorable Chairperson? Thank you very much. Can we proceed now by dealing with the termination of presidency amendment bill, going through it clause by clause and see if there are any issues that can be dealt with?
Thanks, Chairperson. I am just looking for clarity. This bill, after coming after the judgment in the Constitutional Court, was treated as a new bill in the NCLT. Now, for clarity, what are we treating this bill as? The bill that came before this committee, before the ruling, or as a new bill, as did the NCLT handle it?
With this bill, as the NA, a bill that is coming from the NCOP, with no amendment as we are dealt with it. That's my understanding.
Further clarity, Madam Chair. Further clarity. The NCOP deals with it as a new bill in terms of the process and data public hearing. Mm-hmm. Now, if we are dealing with it as it came from the NCOP, how are we dealing with it? Following on with the public hearing or just on content? Because my understanding is there was no problem with the content of the bill. There was a problem with the process. So I want clarity. Why are we going to go through it clause by clause if there was no problem with content, but there was a problem with process?
Honorable Rabina, I nearly forgot your name because I last saw you, I don't know how many years back. Over to you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, my understanding also is that the problem with the public participation was more in the provincial area than the national. We did our work, yes? If it's done the rounds of provincial hearings as the Constitutional Court required, and it's come back with no amendments, can't I see that it's correct that we reconsider what we've reconsidered in exactly the same vein? Are we going to spend money having hearings again?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Chair, I hear what the Honourable Venerable said, but the fact is it's a new bill, and whether or not an old committee with an old bill had public hearings is totally irrelevant to what happened yesterday. We have to apply our minds to ensure that we don't end up in the Constitutional Court and then still get suspended once more. And it's going to cost us a lot more money going that route than having public hearings. And it's an issue I raised last week as well, and our Honourable Cadian, that time was of the essence, that we've only got starting the 17th of January to sort this problem out, and Parliament came to recess in the middle to end of November. And therefore, that we should have actually discussed it last week and made a decision to call for public hearings and get the adverts out there. But there's no doubt in my mind that if we are to apply our minds properly as members of Parliament, like we have to, on a bill as serious as this, that we should have public hearings and hear what the public has to say about it. Mm-hmm. And maybe we will come up with amendments. You never know if we apply our minds and listen to people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honourable Kalyan and then Ravindran. Thanks again, Chair. This is again for clarity. In last week's meeting, we had asked for the state law advisor to give opinion. Has that been forthcoming after we have it?
He's on our way. He will be with us now.
Ravindran.
Thank you. I was going to ask if we couldn't just get something from the Constitutional Court on their view of what they expect of us.
Because it doesn't go back. They have passed the judgment, they have to, they put the book. And it's because they do, they expect to come to the National Assembly with a new bill again.
Yeah, I think he's on his way. He will be here to give us the direction. I don't know whether now to wait until he comes, but we are of the opinion that we dealt with the bill and we dealt with it successfully and well. So went to the NCO because the only problem was the procedure, which did not affect us. And they did not make any new amendments in the processing of those bills. Direction, should you wait for the law advisor to come and advise us on the issue, or can the department come to our rescue?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our understanding was that there was no flaw picked up by the Constitutional Court with the National Assembly process. The issue was really with regards to the NCOP. Our understanding is that that flaw has now been corrected by the NCOP, and the bill has now been presented to the National Assembly. So our understanding would be that this is not a new bill, there'd be no amendments that have been brought forward, that this bill now needs to be adopted and then submitted for assent by the President.
That is our understanding from the ANC. I don't know whether you are still doubtful, Mr. Waters.
Mr. Chair, we would like to wait for the State Board Bar to come and give us their opinion.
Can we just find out how far is the state law advisor so that we don't take much of our time waiting on you or her? In the meantime, can we welcome Honourable Treasurer back to our committee? She went away to act on the Arts and Culture Portfolio Committee. So that committee has now got a chairperson, and now she's got time to serve in both Arts and Culture and Health. Welcome back to the session. We've been meeting you. Lastly.
Thank you. I think it will be very important that we wait for the state law advisor so we can give Parliament, especially the National Assembly, the opportunity. We have looked at what the legal implications are for them because of the huge costs that are involved, and I know that it's something that they will want to look at very carefully, even going to Mr. Joyce's office perhaps, so that we can get that clear status. Because I've been informed by lawyers outside of Parliament that
they understand it differently. And so I do believe there will be a challenge, and therefore we must keep that in mind, that there will be a challenge.
We are waiting for Mr. Honorable Jacqueline, we are waiting for the law advisor to come and give us the direction. Thank you.
I think one thing that we must be clear about is that we don't really need to engage ourselves with unnecessary activities, which we have already done. This is the one thing which we must all try to avoid, you know, doing the things that we have already done. Unless otherwise, then somebody will suggest that we have not done our job properly in the past. But I mean, if we have done our job properly, it should be in the interest of all the committee members, you know, to avoid engaging in public hearings for the second time and lead to the same outcome, you know, that we had in the past. It should be in our interest to try and find ways for the situation to be done.
Thank you, Honorable Mashire, with your wise words. Honorable Mashire?
Thank you. On that point, that will be one of these, probably the second challenge that will be taken up, and that is the fact that that the NCRP went through the hearings without actually looking at the content, as the Honorable Member just said, that we need to avoid going through hearings when we're not going to look at the content, which is crazy. So we need to keep in mind that we should be very careful what we're saying, because that will lead to another challenge for planning. Thank you. Honorable Mashire,
with your wise words. Legal advisor is on his way.
Sure. Sure. Just because I'm not around, and I don't want to be into this, I know you really want to discuss, but I'm wondering, we do not know how fast he or she is, but we have another period that's been within the meantime, rather than, you know, waiting for this legal advisor. Are these people that are going to present this yet, or before we could start the big one?
The one that the two was also presented for us last week. So it's for us to apply our minds. The advisors walk in. I don't know whether we should stop and then go back to the termination of checking.
Thank you.
What was raised by Honorable Chair to give you the other in the meantime, so we don't know how long the table was in the meantime.
Can I go? I was sitting aloud. I was wondering if this department cannot be helpful to traditional help that we have given them first.
So they did that last week. If we are going to deal with it, we have to go through each ourselves and apply our minds according to what they will prescribe for. Honorable
Chair, I just wondered if you would consider a 10-minute general discussion around the traditional health practitioners bill, because it relates to the whole regulation of complementary health, and the head of that committee is here. So we could perhaps just investigate the general status of the report on regulating medical devices and alternative health medicine from Professor Green Thompson. If you would just consider a 10-minute general discussion on the status of all of that, and then maybe we'll decide if we go right into the debate on that bill, or the law advisors will be there to look at the termination of pregnancy.
That's the problem of people who don't attend meetings regularly. The department did its job last week. They took us through in their presentation, and we agree that now, as the portfolio committee, we are going to apply our minds in this meeting according to what we were briefed upon. Thank you very much. Not going to be done.
I got a full report on what was in the meeting last week, and the issue that I brought up was not discussed. But he talked about traditional health practitioners as well, but not the other issue. But if you don't want to entertain that, that's fine.
Honorable Rabinovich, we are going to deal with that bill, and we are going to apply our minds, and your concerns are going to be taken as we go through that bill in due course. Am I making myself clear?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Can we take the suggestion by Honorable Chair to let me deal with the Honorable Dudley if you want to have another meeting?
Sorry, but the meeting's not. We're not in the area. Apologies.
I was saying if we go according to the suggestion of Honorable Chair to deal with the traditional health practitioner amendment bill, in the meantime, while we are waiting for the meeting. No, I'm sorry. Thank you. Can we do this? whatever it does.
I think it's a good idea if there's certain other things to deal with, but also obviously the legal issues will come up with this one as well in terms of are we in danger of it going back or not. So so that would be the same issue, but if there's additional things to deal with, then yeah, let's go ahead.
Chair, can you clarify, there were amendments made by the NCRC, there were amendments made by the NCRC in this case. So I mean, I know your previous argument was that because of the termination of pregnancy bill, or amendment bill, there weren't any amendments from the interpretation, they need to have public hearings. In this case, if there are amendments, what does that, say that we automatically have public hearings? Then, just want to get the principle sorted out.
Yeah, we have amendments to the traditional bill. How are we going to deal with it? Are we going to have a public hearing? As the NA.
The same principle applies, that this is also a new bill that's from the NCRC, right? And it's was it not reintroduced? No, it's the same one. Is it not a new bill? Like the termination of pregnancy? Yes, it's treated as a new bill. So the same principle of, stands for this, these amendments as same as termination of pregnancy. Is it a new bill? Do we have to go through public hearing to cover our side of, to make sure we've covered our side and we don't end up in court? And I think the, that the state law advisor should also give a ruling on this particular bill as well. So we get clarity to the committee, honestly, I think we should wait for the state law advisor.
They're just doing final deliberations on the Children's Amendment Bill across the way. So I sort of flipped up here and hoping to go back, but I think I need to get back there. And hopefully I'll get back there again before the law advisors come back.
In the meantime, can we deal with the traditional unit, the traditional bill, looking at the amendment as from the SCOP, and then also get advice when the legal advice is given. Can we look at the, I don't know whether we start with the clause 1, which deals with definition. That we do on page 4. Line 14. Where it's dealing with a member, a definition of a member. Page 4, line 14. According to the definition of a member, as in the bill, means a member of the council and includes a member of the committee of the council.
I think there's no problem there. I mean, this is the meaning of everybody is sure that the correct meaning is made when the body makes a correct member of the council. Yes, I think we should be that we should be in agreement. I think everybody.
Are we all in agreement?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So if you indicate that the amendment is proposed to be consistent with the National Health Act, then certainly we would want to support it. So we would want to support this amendment. It's very, very makes sense because the 74 one has been replaced by with the 2005 one. It relates to the Nursing Act. It's like Comrade Masuli is indicating policy up, making corrections to things that were not there when we dealt with it the first time. So we certainly want to support it.
Proceed to verse 2, verse 4, the establishment of temple.
Chairperson, yeah, I think this is really important issue that has been raised here, but there is no clear proposal to what to do, how to make the necessary amendments, or to an actual fact factor this in, Chairperson. The concern that has been raised, has been highlighted here, is certainly noted that it's a valid concern, but how to move forward in amending or inserting a new clause to address this, that is not forthcoming here. So I'm not quite sure whether there has been an idea from perhaps the department side exactly how the universities we should approach this matter.
Can we get the
direction
from
you?
Thanks. I think the intention there was the request was to lead the way following counsel so that that section reads the registrar must convene the first meeting of the first of the council. The reason for this was that immediately after the commencement of the act, there are certain processes that have to be followed in appointing of the registrar, in publishing regulations for 3 months. Or for 2 months for public comment, so the 3 months that you will be will not be sufficient.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so
that
is
the
question.
Okay.
In the amendments proposed to this amendment document here, it says the process of appointing the registrar is another factor to be considered. Can the department expand on that? What does that mean?
Chairperson, here we are referring to the process of advertising the post itself, going through the process of interviews and the actual appointment. And that cannot be done until such time as the act has been implemented, but that appointment has to be done in terms of the act. So that's why we're saying the process of appointing the registrar is another thing that has to be considered by the committee in deciding whether to accept this proposal or not.
I'm just raising a concern. While I understand the 3 month time limit is impractical, considering, you know, you have to appoint the councilman and place adverts, is it not wise to put the time plan in to ensure that the council does meet within a specific period instead of leaving it open? You know, I'd just like to get the views of the department.
Chairperson, 3 months, according to our experience, is rather limited in terms of getting a person into a previous position. So we understand that there is a request for having time frame, maybe 6 months. Can you propose 6 months instead of 3 months?
Although we are trying to establish a time frame, and
practical, it may prove still to be difficult, depending on the process and the engagement of establishing the council, appointing the legislature. You may find that the 6 months period is not there. I want your opinion that actually gives the minister the power to determine the time of this first meeting after considering the conclusion of the appointment of the registrar that has been done correctly and the particular logistics has been cleared off, and then the minister determines the first meeting. That's what I would propose, that we provide for the minister to determine that particular thing.
We have now two options here, 6 months, or the second one is we give the minister the power to convene the first meeting. The third day, Manana and Madela, and then we will.
I think 6 months, because I also agree with the honorable water, that we must have something, because we need to make sure that this is, you know, they are implementing. Then I wanted to propose 6 months, but I'm not quite sure now after the explanation of all of these things, but I want to propose 6 months. Okay.
Madena?
Chairperson, the key here, to my mind, resides in the constitution of the council and not the commencement of the act. I think it is important that the House would come to be operationally responsible for this act, but certainly say this particular view. That's why they argue for 6 months. But clearly, they themselves would not be able to literally ensure that the 6 months period is something that can be somehow adhered to, because the council must first be constituted. It has to be a process that will precede the constitution of the council, and that may be a lengthy process in its own. It's only after all council members have been clearly and legally being confirmed as council members, then the issue of the first meeting can come into the equation. So what Masili is saying makes clearly a sense that the registrar, in consultation with the minister, in consultation with the registrar, should convene the first council meeting.
I don't know whether we must let her proceed with what we are doing right now, because we should meet her what we saw on this one as well. I don't know if you can help us with the dilemma we are in now.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for not being present this morning in this party. I was not involved in this call, but I am made aware that you needed our advice, and I would just then ask just a little bit of time to just go through the process of the registrar and the time frame to just give you proper advice in that particular aspect. What I was informed, however, is that you just wanted us to come and just discuss the issue with regards to public participation, and whether it's necessary for the first four public hearings. My understanding is that the bills that are currently in front of the portfolio committee were adopted by the select committee without amendments to the two bills. That would be the termination of pregnancy as well as the traditional health practitioners bill. As I may just point out, the Constitutional Court has indicated in its constitutional judgment that the problem with the two bills were the public participation process in the provincial legislature, and that was where the public participation was at fault. There was no criticism about the process in the portfolio committee, but the portfolio committee is in charge of its own processes, so it's up to the committee to decide whether to entertain further amendments, whether to entertain public hearings. But as per the Constitutional Court, I just want to reiterate that there was no problem with the process that was held in the public participation in the portfolio committee. If Chair wants me to just address the committee on the other aspects, I would just want to have a bit of time to just look at those particular issues if I could just have the indulgence of the committee on that. Thank you.
The problem with the two bills, as you have mentioned, there's no problem with it. Our concern here is that it was introduced in the NCOP as the first bill. That's where our concern is. If it is introduced as the first bill, what is our concern?
Thank you, Chairperson. If it's introduced in terms of 762 of the process and the procedure in the constitutional in the constitution, the first task would then be the select committee, and the select committee can either adopt the bill without amendments, or can make amendments to the bill, or can reject the bill. In this instance, how I understand it is that it went through the select committee without amendments. So the process is then referred to the portfolio committee. The portfolio committee in terms of 76 may also then consider the bill, make amendments to the bill, and if the all let the bill go without any amendments to the committee, or also have the opportunity to reject the bill. But in that instance, then the mediation committee will then also kick in. And that is in terms of section, if I can remember correctly, 80 of the constitution. Then there's a process of mediation that follows because of the 76-2.
I think it makes it clear now with the advice we get from the legal advisor, there's no need for the NCOP to go for public hearings because we've done that process and we did it successfully. Thank you very much. And there are no amendments as well from the NCOP, so what are we doing? Thank you very much.
Chair, have you not finished? I had a comment on the other issue that we were talking about, the 6 months or the 3 months. So if you're going back there, that's what I'd like to talk about.
Yeah, but we need to
chat with the secretary as well as with the department, and then take 10 minutes time if that's possible. I'll appreciate the
indulgence. May I add my comments as a committee member? Thank you, sir. May I add my comments as other members of the committee do?
Yeah.
On that. If 6 months is deemed to be too short, I suggest we stretch it to a year, but I don't think we should give up our role completely as people who are responsible for the education that they take the minister to do and think less. But they may be not good enough to put it to do anything which you like. So if 6 months is a limit to do the two people that are asking, okay, take it to a year, but don't put the minister.
What is in the machine, Manana?
I agree that we should have a time frame, and the department has asked what they feel comfortable with, and 6 months was the time frame they gave, and I don't see why the department would give an incorrect time frame here, but, you know, giving a deadline for themselves that they cannot reach or meet. And I honestly feel that we should keep it 6 months so we don't prolong the first meeting.
Thank you.
Honourable Machine?
Yeah, Chair, maybe one can just clarify why one is not believing that it may be an achievable thing in 2021. It's because we're talking about convening a council after the commencement of the act, not after the establishment of the council. We're talking after the commencement of the act. But then the commencement of the act will actually start other processes. That will lead to the establishment of the council, the appointment of the register. And at that time, you know, we're not in a frame that we can talk about the sitting of the council. If maybe this provision was talking about 3 months or 6 months after the establishment of the council, then I would say, yes, this is achievable because we're just talking about coordination. But now we're still talking about the process of actually putting up the vote together. We may need advertisements and interviews or whatever sort of nomination and to get the council established. And also the process has already been explained of appointing the register, which may be a lengthy process of actually making sure that certain issues are taken care of, that the correct person is being appointed. And that particular person also must know the ground where it's operating, or she's operating, you know, before actually calling the council and have a particular agenda in front of them. So that is the basis why I'm having this little doubt. If the provision was talking about after the establishment of the council, it was going to be a lot more easier. But it is talking about just getting the act in action. And there is no structure at that particular time. It's a structure on the book. But now we're talking about the time for the structure to see, whereas it's just not there, it's on the book. I think that is my little reasoning, you know, in relation to the time that it
stands. I think that's what we have asked the legal person to apply a month on, to tell us whether 6 months is too little or a year will be sufficient, or the minister must do what she's supposed to do. Can we wait for a response from the legal advisor, please? And deal with it after she briefs us on it. Anna, you had your hand up and... thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can we proceed? Can we proceed now to the next point, which is from quorum and procedure at meeting?
A person could be anyone, could not necessarily be anyone. So to specify it makes absolute sense.
Proceeding to the 5.
10, 11, 10. Only members of the council have voting rights. In meetings of the council. Are we in agreement with this?
Yes.
Honorable Kalia?
I just want to have a clarity. Members are chosen according to their provinces, you know, like the nine provinces and so on and so forth. Now, if for argument's sake, a member, a designated member from that province can't make a council meeting, is there any provision made for an alternate to attend in his or her absence? And what is the process for that?
When the department comes to our office, a member is unable to attend.
Chairperson, as we explained last week, the membership of the council is 22 people. The absence of one member from one province wouldn't make much of a difference because there are other people who are voting for within the council, which can consist of 22 people.
And then does it make sense?
No, not quite.
Then we can't answer what I'm saying.
I mean, I'm not asking whether it makes a difference whether that person is there or not. I'm asking, is there a process in place for some alternative to represent? If I can't make as a portfolio committee meeting, forget about the emotions whether I'm there or not there. I need somebody to be there on my behalf. That's the technical thing I'm asking. Not whether it makes a difference or not. That's irrelevant.
Honorable
Manana? Chair, on page 7, when I'm looking at the constitution of the country, they are saying only 22, a maximum of 22 members. In the concept, I don't see anywhere where they're saying we need to have alternates. In that way, I don't see any captain who can represent the others when the member is not there. Only members who are supposed to be part of the meeting, not the alternate.
Before the department, Honorable Mashiru?
Yeah, Chair, I'm sure all of us are aware of the situations of the functioning of alternate members, where you actually lack continuity within the structure or the institution. I think it will benefit the structure if we don't bring in issues of alternate, so that then the members can be committed to the structure. If a member has got challenges, then the particular province must replace the person, but then have a person that is committed, so that we don't have this this continuation where in one meeting, then one province debate one issue, then the next meeting, then the different person does not even know what was the debate, and actually drop debate in the start. I recommend that we don't go the route of providing for a
thank you,
on
your
thank you, Chairperson. And also on page 8, meetings of the council, the meetings are held twice a year, twice annually. And I think it needs a committee to be able to attend the meeting twice a year to discuss the issues that are in front of the council.
If we are health, I think we should think in terms of the health. If you want continuity, then all the more reason why there should be a provision that every province that she represented at those just those two meetings in the year. And we've just seen how important the role of the provinces is being in this group. So it's such a simple thing. It's not a big political thing. It's just to say, if a person is ill, or for some significant reason can't get to that meeting, it's really not worth it. The province must be represented. So I say it's more important if the province is represented than that we don't have the trouble of having to go into an additional office. So I would say for all of our interests in the provinces, we should let an alternate come into the meeting for the purposes of continuity.
It does make sense, as the previous speaker said, to have alternatives, because if you're only meeting twice a year, the council may make a decision, that may affect a particular province negatively who isn't there, and it doesn't mean someone isn't dedicated if not there. There could be ill, funeral, there's loads of issues. We're all human, we have difficulties in our lives, we all get ill. So if I could propose an amendment to the constitution of the council, that says the council consists of a maximum of 22 members or a designated alternate. Provincial, designated provincial alternate. That's on page 7, on the first line of the constitution of the council. That way it gives the province with some flexibility in case the actual member is ill to send somebody else.
If I may ask, what will be the number that forms a quorum out of 24 deputy members?
The only council that insists there shall be one member from each province. Of the five other councils that are there, people are elected, and we find usually there is a lot more representation from housing, because all councils happen to be in housing. The long and short of it is that in all councils there are no alternatives. And the whole exercise is to streamline councils. The bloated councils are really dysfunctional. And two meetings a year are actually a minimum. The council shall meet at least twice a year. Most councils meet at least once in 3 months because of the length of the agenda that we do have. So the whole idea was to make sure that this particular new council is in line with the existing council. And we don't want it to be bloated. We want it to be an efficient part of the policy, the direction that is being followed in terms of management and establishment. So rather than bloating it through alternatives, the other people in the council can actually do the business as council, as members of council, not necessarily as commission.
I just want to understand whether this alternate testing can fit in the council, even though she or he is not a member of the council, is that allowed? I just wanted to have clarity on this one.
And I'm watching that. You also answered to that question.
Yeah. I'm confused because the option is one blow to the council. It only means if the principal member cannot make it to the province, as the alternative will then go in that person's place. It doesn't make the blow to it. None of the other nine alternatives are going to sit there at every meeting, forcing the quorum to be larger. I mean, it makes no impact whatsoever. And if we're talking about bloating a council, we just increase it from 14 to 22. That's an additional 8 members. That's a two-thirds increase in membership. That's bloating, if you want to look at that.
Thank you very much. Another minute.
Chairperson, I think we need to be particular on it. The Health Department has indicated that in all the other countries, a certain number of members stipulated in the Health. We need to follow that rule, not to create something new just because you want representatives from other bodies. If the quorum is on the meeting, it continues. And the member that is not there is going to get the minutes of the meeting and will know exactly what transpired in that meeting.
Thanks, Jefferson. I think the one other thing that we need to get more clarity on, so that we are one in responding to this issue, is the nature of this council. Is it considered as representatives of provinces or the national council? You know, for traditional leaders. Because if it's a national body, then the question of representation of provinces then falls out. Because then they are acting as a collective at the national level. And the thinking of alternate based on provincial representation, then it becomes an inheritance.
Thank you, Honorable Mashiri. We have a lot of legal advisors to do that. Can we give
I didn't hear the background. I was called to deal with the issue of public participation. Okay. As I understand, the question that was asked was whether this committee with regard to the health bill would need to facilitate public participation in the bill, seeing that the NPOP already did that. That's the question. Okay. Now, basically, we all remember the Doctors for Life case and the Matapial case. What the court pointed out was that Section 59(1)(a) of the Constitution stipulated that the National Assembly must facilitate public involvement in the legislative process. And there are two aspects to this. To the duty to facilitate, the first being the duty to provide meaningful opportunities for public participation in the lawmaking process, while the second is the duty to take measures to ensure that people have the ability to take advantage of the opportunities offered. Now, the court says that the situation will vary from case to case, but the legislation must ultimately act reasonably in carrying out its duty to facilitate public involvement in the process.
question that what matters is that at the end of the day, a reasonable opportunity is offered to members of the public and all interested parties to know about the issues and to have an adequate say. The court said that reasonableness is an objective standard which is sensitive to the facts and circumstances of a particular case. Context is all important. Whether legislature acts reasonably will depend on a number of factors, including the nature and importance of the legislation, as well as the intensity of its impact on the public. Other factors that increase the need to facilitate public participation will include the amount of public interest shown in the bill, whether or not the bill contains controversial or contentious provisions, whether there has been a request for public hearing by interest groups or members of the public. Now, these were the bills that the NCOP didn't adequately facilitate public involvement in. And the court said that because they were controversial and they had a large impact, there's a heightened need for public participation with regard to these bills. Now, with regard to the argument that because the NCOP facilitated public involvement, it's not necessary for the NA to do so, precisely the opposite happened in the Doctors for Life case, where the court said that the National Assembly did facilitate public involvement, but the court drew a distinction between the role of the National Assembly and the role of the council. It looked at section 42.3 of the Constitution, which said that the Assembly is elected to represent the people and to ensure governed by the people under the Constitution by providing a national forum for public consideration of issues. And by contrast, the court said that looking at section 42.4, it says that the NCOP is to ensure that provincial interests are taken into account in the national sphere. So the court said that, this is in Doctors for Life, that the Assembly and NCOP represent different interests in the lawmaking process. If either of these democratic institutions fail to fulfill its constitutional obligations in relation to the bill, the result is that Parliament will have failed in its obligations. So, in short, the answer is that the committee will have to facilitate public involvement in the bill. The MA, irrespective of what the NCOP has done.
Chairperson, then shouldn't we then probably allow say, you know, it's for our legal advisor to actually integrate the interpretation and advise us accordingly? Thanks.
Chairperson, it seems that people are now more confused. What Honorable Mashi has just said is the people who are advising us, they need to meet and tell us exactly what is expected of us. Because now there are contradictory statements that we're getting.
Chair, what we've heard suggests to me that we shouldn't leave it to our legal advisors, because clearly it's not that clear. So they would have different, and they might have finally say, oh, for safety's sake, let's have public hearing. Can't we go to the Constitutional Court of Legal Judgment? But listen to the second point of view. We have fulfilled that obligation very well. We had exceptionally long hearings on the termination of vacancy laws. So that obligation has been done. The provinces have now fulfilled an obligation of representing the provinces. Not as if we haven't done what we did. They didn't amend the bill. So why are we pretending that we're looking at new things? I mean, there's a plain procedure here where substantively we have done what the Constitutional Court says we're doing. I don't understand it. Thanks.
It's what you've been saying all along. The actual public hearing is a new board. It's actually irrelevant what the committee did in the past with the other board. It's a new bill, and we have to take the process as a new board, meaning we have to have public hearing. And if we don't, we're going to land up in the Constitutional Court like as previously. And this bill will not... We are going to. And I don't see what the problem is. We
it doesn't cost much to have public hearings. It honestly doesn't. It'll cost more going to court. We all know that. And we've got to listen to what the public are prepared. I don't know what we're scared of, quite frankly. You know?
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Chair, the question that I addressed was, and that's how I understood it, is it necessary for this committee to be public hearing? And the Constitutional Court has led the ruling that there was something wrong in the process of the NCRC. If the committee remembers correctly, I said it is something good with the there was no amendment made in the left committee when the board referred back to this committee. But this committee still determines its own process. So if the committee feels it wants public participation, it can have public participation. But, as has been stated, the Constitutional Court has not had a problem with the public participation in the previous processes that was followed by the portfolio committee in that aspect. And I understood it was from that perspective that I had to address the committee, and that's why I based my argument on the fact that the Constitutional Court's decision related to the failure in the NCRC and in the provinces to have legislative and consultative processes on the board. Thank you. That was still up to Matthew and my conversation.
Let me make a distinction here. Legal advisor who just told them now from the department. And the advocate, but still, is a parliamentary legal advisor. Come on, state law advisor. And still, parliamentary law advisor. We.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we should understand what they say we should do again, because whether it's the first, it comes started again at the national and the NCOT referred back to us or started with us, we are going to call public hearings again, get the same people will be telling us the very same things that we have and had on which our debate and the amendment were done. So then going back to that process, going to hear the same people making the deliberating on the same issues, instead of maybe if we want to do something, we can rather get written submissions from them which won't be different from what they've written. And this is where we all know the technical mistake was. It was in the LCOT not doing their part, and nothing is being amended, nothing was accepted, was changed in whatever we iterated on. So really, let's not go back into what is done. Let's understand, let's agree among ourselves, and if the constitutional law is needed, we be advised on that part of the constitutional law. That's what wrong with it, by saying we've done our part, we are going to call the very same people to come and discuss the same story. We're going to sit again as the same portfolio committee, making the same deliberations, coming to the same conclusion. So why should we do what we've done again? When we should actually be agreeing and constitutionally be advised on what is the proper step to take.
Yes, sir.
Machile and then water?
Chair, I think my initial suggestion still stands, that we give them the opportunity to go in and interpret the interpretation of this particular court ruling and advise us accordingly. And like as Ravishi has indicated, then they can also make a consultation on whether with the consultant or whatever. Advise us accordingly. It's not going to help us for the two things, no advice us to debate here. Because it's not going to be beneficial or anything to us now, because it is too divergent in application. Therefore, I still stand that we allow them space and time to actually make sure that we have a unanimous advice on this issue, rather than just continue with the debate because they're not going to integrate them during the debate in front of us.
If that is the case, well, how much time do we give them?
So just on the other point, I think it needs I'm shocked to hear a member of the portfolio say, what's the point of having such a tool? We're going to get the same submission. We don't know that for a fact. We're going to hear the same arguments, and we're going to come to the same conclusion. That means people have already made up their own minds, irrespective of if you have public hearings or not. They're not going to actually pay any attention or give any credence to what people are saying from the public. I find that appalling, actually, in that attitude. But what I would like to hear, though, Chair, if I may, from the first paper of the Bible, which said we didn't have to have public hearings, and I think she was referring to what the court judgment had said. But in her view, in giving us advice as a state law advisor, does she feel that we should have public hearings? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I support the idea that we give the legal people a chance to go away and come up with one view. I again want to make the point, last week at the briefing we were told that these two bills were treated in the NCOP as a new bill, and if they would consider starting from that premise, that if this were a new bill, what should our actions be? And then thirdly, to just say that it does not matter if we're going to have public hearings again and if we're going to have to sit through it again. We as a portfolio committee have a duty to exercise our oversight role. Whether you've heard it one time or 10 times, we have a responsibility. And one more point. If we're going to rush this today, we're still not going to debate it on Thursday because the 3-day rule would not have left. So let's not worry about what's scheduled for debate on Thursday. It's not going to happen because the 3-day rule would have passed.
Mm. Also, in responding to the bill, we must take the consideration of the fact that suspension is up to the 18th of February. So we need to apply our minds how we are going to deal with it. If we are going to conform to the committee, we have to take aside some of our time as members of this committee.
So, okay, one word I think is in January, and the other one is February.
On that score, if we look at the law governing the time that you need for warning of people for hearing, and then after hearing for applying your hand, and then looking at the bill, would it be practical? Could we realistically get the advisors to speak to someone in the Constitutional Court, have them come back to us, advertise it, have their hearings, apply our minds, debate the bill, and do all that within time frame? Because if we trip up on one thing, the people who don't want the bill to go through are going to bring it back, and they will take it to the Constitutional Court again. I'm not quite sure what the agenda is, so it will go through again.
Chairperson, the Constitutional Court won't give a ruling on something which they might have to rule on later. We did approach them previously, the previous speaker, on a matter, and they said they will only adjudicate on matters before them that have been challenged. So we can't just ask them for an opinion on a matter.
Can you ask on to the other question I asked, which was about the time process, if you do want to get it through before January. Unless you want to be called back to the basis in January or in December, because you won't have fallen within the prescribed time for all those things that you need.
Honorable Colin? Yes, that's the government rises on the 23rd of November. There is plenty of time to do it. Parliament rises on the 23rd of November. There is time to do it.
Madam?
Thank you, Chairman. This indeed is a very complex issue. Not being a legal ego makes it more complex. But my understanding is that lawyers would always have different interpretations. You would hardly find two legal minds thinking exactly like that. So, as the court judgment also indicates, there could be different interpretations on the matter. But we must do something that would put us into, well, let me say, we must have a very cautionary approach. And one bears in mind that one of our committee members has indicated that, as far as he knows, there are already people drawing up legal papers to challenge what they consider and believe would be the outcome here. So we haven't actually dealt with the matter, but people are already drawing up legal papers, per se. So I think we certainly, in order to be safe, we must call for submissions. I would propose, Chair, to call for submissions, written submissions, and then consider those written submissions. And as you indicate earlier, Chair, that it may be necessary to call on that from the recess, because the ANC will only go on the recess on the 15th of December, not before that. Because before that we will be in our constituencies. So certainly, I think the ANC people, the ANC members, we will come back if it's necessary. But I think the cautionary approach would be that we must even write, we must publish, call for submissions, and then we deal with the submissions. I speak under correction, but I don't think we necessarily need to go the route. I may also jump the gun now of public hearings. Let us consider the submissions chambers. Maybe our legal eagles, the two different parties, the state law advisors and parliament can indicate whether what I'm assuming or what I'm saying in relation to just considering written submission would that be in violation of our constitutional responsibility law.
Thank you. That's the question I was going to ask. As to whether will that be all right if we go that route.
So we can do what we did with the children's bill. Look, the court, as I said, they had a sliding scale of what the degree that you would need to facilitate public involvement. And they said the more controversial and the more impactful the legislation, the higher the sliding scale. So what I suggest is that you do have public hearings, but from those written submissions, people that make feasible recommendations, you call them to a hearing, which we did with the children's body. Because these both did generate a lot of controversy, and they do have a big impact, and that fits criteria outlined by the court. So to be safe, I mean, this is actually what the court says should do.
Chairperson, as I indicated earlier on, it is up to the committee to determine its own practice, and as the court and as also pointed out by the parliamentary paper as well, the parliament and the legislature have their own considerable discretion to determine their own practice, and that can be vis-a-vis written submissions or can be calling for public hearing. It's up to the committee itself to determine whether, to the extent that they want to facilitate the public involvement in this specific process. So they, it's up to the committee to decide ultimately how to look at public participation. And the Constitution, of course, has held in this regard that it is a discretion of the executive and the committee. And to determine the parliament, not parliament determining the answer to the regarding how public
I don't want to get into debate, but I'm just going to quote from paragraph 124 of the judgment. It says, however great the leeway given to the legislature, the courts will in a process case to determine whether the degree of public involvement that has been required by the Constitution has been fulfilled. And then they go into the reasonable and the sliding scale as to what is required.
Yeah, I was saying I want to be advised accordingly as to whether we stop here now or we continue with what we are doing until we get to the point of public hearing where we will deal with what we are going to do now during our public hearing.
Yeah, Chair, I did have an understanding of what Comrade Madela said, the cautionary way forward. But, you know, I really value our two legal advisors. And they have given us advice. But unfortunately, contradictory advice. And I've got a feeling that until we get consensus between themselves and give us one advice that will actually take us forward, up to now we don't have consensus on the advice, and it will be a little bit dangerous to weigh one advice against the other one currently until they really apply their mind and actually have a single understanding in relation to the task that we have and give us one advice that will take us forward. I think that is my view, that's my take on this issue. And before we actually move forward. Because if you say we're taking the route of public hearing, that we have already concluded that one advice is superior to the other. And whereas we are getting these advisors from two equally competent, qualified advisors. And that's why I was of the opinion that if they actually consolidate the advice that we get and get one advice that we can base on it for our way forward, it will be much more appreciated.
The second advice is that the committee must decide whether to have this public hearing or not. That must come from us. Honorable
Chair, the word. So what the proposal means is it was that of giving the legal advisors 10 minutes. And also I think we do also need a break of 10 minutes. Because time now is 10 to 12. If we could come back at 12, then we definitely give the advisors time to consider of giving us the right advice. But I thought, you know, again from us, it came from us in the morning, that we proceed and then we check whether this will need the public hearing or not. And we even said, if it's more of the administration, there might not be a need for for a public hearing. That is why I say maybe we need that thing of giving them time, and also we also need okay. So I thought that we do really need that thing. So
and then water. And then Honorable Gabinde.
Chair, there's 2 points I want to make. One, we're a committee not of individuals, like we were saying about the provinces before. It doesn't matter who's here. A committee has a job to do, and we do it as a committee, not as individuals. If members were not here when this committee applied their minds, doesn't mean that this committee hasn't done its job. This committee did a very thorough job on both of these bills. Those of us who were here before happen to know that. And if the Constitutional Court did not find a problem with the job that we did, as opposed to what Honourable Walter said, that he's shocked that we're not wanting to do our work, I believe that we've done a very good job. We could go back to those, we can go back to all those submissions. So the point is, they say look at it as if it is a new bill. But why are we bluffing ourselves? The Constitutional Court are rational people. Everything they go by is reasonable. So if we're doing it because we're scared that these guys who want to get us are going to get us because we've not done something procedural, I actually can't see how the Constitutional Court could argue. What do they say? We didn't apply our minds to new bills. They're very reasonable. They're very rational. We did apply our minds. Not a new bill. Not a single thing has changed. Unless there's something major in the country that is being revealed about the whole issue. As it happens, I think my party opposed this bill. We will probably do that again. But, you know, it may give quite a lot of political exposure to some views and so on and so forth. But in terms of the actual process, what this lady said, right from the beginning, makes complete sense to it. And I think it's like we're playing a game here. We're sort of playing a game with words. Yeah.
Chair, I would like to propose that we meet after Parliament has written this afternoon, when we've given the two legal minds time to fish out the issue, because it is a serious matter before us. I hear what the Honourable Chair is saying, give them 10 minutes, but I think it's going to take a bit longer than 10 minutes for them to come to some form of conclusion. So I propose that we meet after Parliament, straight after Parliament rises. Shouldn't take long, and then we make a decision from there. But I don't think that minimize the importance of these bills by saying that we're scared of the civil society. I think it's an insult to everyone up there. So thank you. We are open and transparent Parliament. Unlike the previous one, where everything was done behind closed doors, we should be very proud of the fact that we're open and transparent and that we want the public to participate. But the principle remains that it's a new bill, and it's irrelevant what work was done before in the previous House Committee. It's a brand new bill, and we should hear the advice of the Parliament to advise. Thank you.
Thank you. I was of the opinion that since we started in the work with us, but if we aim to, I thought it was going to be referred back to the provinces, and then if there are any changes that they are making, then we can see them sort those changes.
Yes, thank you. Just obviously the bills themselves are very controversial, and therefore we can't just lightly deal with them, and we've got to know that there's a huge lot of interest in terms of the public. So we need to be careful. But the issue here really is the legal issue. If it's a new bill, should it come back to us, and are we going to be skating on thin ice if we don't have a hearing, because we don't need the extra cost if we don't have to have the extra cost. So if we really need to make a sensible, rational decision in terms of if it's a new bill, what should we be doing so that we don't have to go next. And it can't harm, especially in view of the contention around these bills. If you actually give that kind of a hearing, we've just done it recently with the Children's Amendment Bill, and actually it wasn't a big expense to Parliament. Now the thing that we need here is that
we need to know, the public needs to know that they have been involved. The civil society needs to know that we're not trying to just simply avoid them. There are issues, and on this particular bill there's an additional issue, and that is the fact that on a few occasions people have said, even the department has said, that they weren't meant to look at the content. They were just meant to have the hearings, and it was very silly things to say because people have heard them say that. Now, we need to be sure that we are giving the impression that when we have hearings, we are not just doing it for the sake of process, but we are doing it to listen to the content, because if you listen to the content of what came up in the hearings of the NCOP, we have ignored everything that was said there. So these are things that are making it doubly contentious. So we would be well advised, I think, to allow the legal advisors to go, and we want them to advise us on that legal issue. Parliament will be the one putting the bill. So they need to come as Parliament to us and say, are they prepared to take that risk or are they not? And that's the kind of advice that we're looking for there.
Honourable Deputy, is what you are saying implying that when the NCOP calls for public participation, they did not apply their minds in the content of the case?
Now, what I'm saying is that I've heard on a few occasions, and other people have heard as well, people saying that we did not have to listen to what was being said, we only had to go through the process. And I'm saying that was really incorrect, and that's the impression that we have now given. That we were actually going through the hearings without any intention of listening to what the content was. Now, if we've given that impression to any degree, this would be an opportunity for us to actually dispel that impression. That's what I'm saying.
Can we give the opportunity to the professor from the department?
Madam Chair, you can rule me out of order if what I'm saying is rule me out of order. There seems to be confusion here in a number of or two areas. I think that we should allow our different legal colleagues to go and debate the issue as has been suggested. I would add a rider and indicate to them that they should have the freedom of involving a constitutional legal expert to enrich the process, so that when they come, they come with a considered opinion that has been enriched or infused by someone who has got a special depth of knowledge in the constitutional aspects of the law. And I think that could probably give them the afternoon, and then they can come back after Parliament and we can finalize this issue. The second issue is that I think the issue that has been confusing here is that what was being considered were the amendments to the Act and not the base Act itself. So I think the amendments are pretty clear and probably uncontroversial. What was not being considered was the base Act outside the amendment. And I think that this point was made clear both at the Select Committee and here, is that what we are considering with the public hearings and with the deliberation here is the amendments to the Act and is not the base Act. And I think having listened to a lot of the debates and have read a lot of the submission for the public hearings, the controversy was on the base Act and not the amendments. Now, there must be a way, if that has to be dealt with in the base Act, it's a separate process. But I think what is on the table now is the amendments to the Act and not the base Act. And secondly, I think that with regards to the Constitutional Court ruling and that type of thing, I think that the two lawyers with the department lawyer need to get together, debate the issue, infuse and enrich the discussion with the constitutional law expert, and then come back at the end of the day and give us a deliberative opinion, and then I think the committee can then make a decision. And we from the department will wait, although we have planned to go back to Pretoria, we will keep ourselves here in Cape Town until this thing is settled. Thank you.
With due respect, Honourable Professor, your idea of, or your suggestion about the constitutional advice has been ruled out by advocates. he says that if they don't have anything on the table in front of them, really, they are not going to even look at them.
No, I think the professor suggests that you consult the constitutional experts, not the constitutional court.
What time frame?
On the very same issue, I had to do it for the short people and I consulted Christina Mari. And this is how I came to the paper, but my previous opinion, but we need, as the committee said, we need to discuss it with the paper, right? So, I can do it this afternoon.
That is afternoon.
Thank you for your question.
Do you want to come in before?
The difficulty is, I have to bring an additional clarity on this. As the department was saying, yes, there were issues around the base bill, but I just want to keep in mind, and perhaps even the lawyers to keep in mind, that this amendment is an amendment that increases easy access and the easy making of facilities available, but it doesn't increase protection of health professionals or protection of women themselves. So there are two aspects that are very closely linked in terms of the people who are the most closely affected by these amendments. So we need to keep that in mind that there may be some issues that are only relevant to the base bill, but there are definitely at least two major issues that are relevant to these amendments.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's a good idea if we can have the afternoon to discuss this before we move to the floor and come back to you.
Thank you.